A few years back, this brother came up in my heart, and I just felt I needed to text him. I woke up actually, and he was on my heart. And I just had this sense the Lord was saying, you just need to text him.
Amen.
And tell him that you were thinking about him, and that you were praying for him, and that you loved him. And so I text him. I said, brother, you came up in my heart this morning.
Amen.
I've been thinking about you, and I was praying for you. But I didn't put, I love you. And I had the distinct feeling that the Lord was telling me to text those three things.
Wow.
To love one another warmly in brotherly love.
Amen.
I don't know what that exactly looks like, but the Lord was bothering me to tell this brother that I loved him.
Yeah.
And he texted me back almost immediately. He said, brother, I need you. Thank you for texting me.
Amen.
And he said, I love you. On the one hand, I was so touched that he said that. On the other hand, I was so convicted. Because I knew the Lord was telling me to text him that I love him, and I didn't do it. So he texted me, I love you. And I was, oh, Lord Jesus. So ever since then, every now and then, I'll send a brother a text. I love you, brother. So we got to learn how to love the brothers, right? They're our brothers. Warmly. Okay, so this message, oh, let me set my timer, sorry. This message is a lot. There's a lot here, and I can get lost in the first point.
Amen.
Before I know it, 30 minutes will have gone by, and I'll have to rush to the rest. So hopefully that doesn't happen. There's just so much to say, so many stories, so many practical examples here. But I wanted to, before we actually even touch the outline, you can look at the title, what does it say? Yeah, before we even touch the answers and attitude concerning the ground of the church, I just wanted to kind of come back to this again and just consider again our understanding of the church, the ground of the church, and also to consider other people's understanding of the church. You can't even say that they have an understanding of the ground of the church, because I don't even think they have that in their mind, right, in their perception.
Right.
What's the ground of the, what do you mean ground of the church? You mean, you know, that piece of land? Is that what you're talking about? So, but how do we view the church and the ground of the church, and how do others view that? And I think that'll help us with our answers and attitude, okay? So, the church in blank. What goes in the blank? The city. Your city. Wherever you are. Where are we today?
Richardson.
Okay, so where are we currently meeting? The church in Richardson. That's right. Okay, so you insert name of city. But I specifically put in and underlined it three times. Why? Okay, so this question, you know, you might say, how many churches are there? And we may have a number. You might say, I don't know how many churches there are in the U.S. I don't know. Do you know, Brother Tom? Let's say 200. That's probably low, huh? What would you say? Matt? 400. Okay, let's say 400, approximately 400 churches in the U.S. Okay, we can say that. It's okay. And even the Bible uses the word churches. But really, how many churches are there?
One.
There's one church. That's why we have the ground of the church, not the ground of the churches. We have the ground of the church, right? So this word right here, in, is important. The church in Austin, the church in Richardson. So if I say, this is my body, is this my body? But we call it the? Yes. My daughter likes to point to all the parts of her body, and then ear, eye, nose. We have specific names for those parts of the body, but is it my body? It is. You can't say that I have, I don't know how many different parts of my body you can name, but you can't say I have 400 different parts of my body. Or 400 different Zeeks, you know?
Yeah, right.
Is this Zeke? Yes. Is this Zeke? Yes. Is my toe Zeke? Yes. The one that's broken? Yes. That one's Zeke too? Okay. All of it is me, right? So the church in it is the expression of the church in that city. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is the expression of the church in that city. Okay, so is the church in Austin, is that our name?
No.
Is the church in Richardson, is that our name?
No.
What is it then? It's a description of what we are. Sure, it's a geographical description. And then at other times they say Philippians.
Yeah.
Right? Philippians. Philippians. That means all those who are the Philippians who are believers in Christ.
Right.
That's what Paul's referring to. Okay, so it's a description of who we are and where we are as well, right? Okay, so let's say this is the church in Richardson. We can use it interchangeably. Let's say these are the city boundaries of Richardson.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the city in Richardson. Where is the church in Richardson? Okay, if this is a believer, are they in the church in Richardson?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
What about the believer that's over here?
Yes.
Wait. We meet, I can't remember the name of this, the address here. So we are in this little address here, 1721 Jupiter. But are we in the church in Richardson?
Sure.
Okay. What about this person here? Are they in the church in Richardson?
No.
Are you sure?
They're not in Richardson.
They're not in Richardson. It's a description.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in the church in Richardson. In, because we're in the city boundaries, therefore we're in the church in Richardson.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, right? Okay. If you take any other description, if you take any other way to name yourselves, what happens? So if I say, we're the First Methodist Church in Richardson, what did you just do? Is this believer in the First Methodist Church in Richardson? Okay, we're not talking not necessarily location. I know I should have drawn that because it looks like location. Not necessarily talking about location, but let's say we're calling ourselves. This is what we're calling ourselves. The First Methodist Church in Richardson. These are all the believers that meet in the First Methodist Church in Richardson. Okay? So if this believer here, are they in the First Methodist Church in Richardson?
No.
This the way that they describe themselves basically close themselves off. Okay, so marvelous truths have been uncovered. We talked a little bit about it over church history. All kinds of truths. Even John Wesley. John Wesley was, you want to call him the founder. I don't know if he would want to be called the founder of the Methodist Church because he had wonderful methods for living a godly life. But he uncovered these wonderful truths and they made a little thing for themselves, a high place, that's right. What about the Baptists? Oh, Baptists are huge, right? There's a lot of Baptists, especially in the Texas area, lots of Baptists, right? Okay, but the fact that they identify themselves as the Baptist believers, what does that mean? That means that's the thing that they hold to, and that's the thing they're holding on to dearly. And if you don't follow along with this doctrine, they don't consider you a Baptist. Well, you could go, I'm sure there's a lot of Catholics, right, in the Texas area. Lots of them. I don't know about Richardson so much, but lots of Catholics, okay? Any other? So not even divided by doctrinal divisions, but
race,
culture. You know, maybe within the Baptist there's four different, who knows how many different racial divisions among the Baptists themselves. Yeah. before you know it, you start putting all this together. What about free groups? What about free groups? Maybe they don't want to be called anything. We're not bad. We're the, what? The Tree of Life Church. They don't want to go by necessarily a doctrinal thing. Maybe they just call them the Living Church. I don't know. But they're just free groups, the Living Church. And then you have this group. I got to hurry because I'm going to run out of time. Language Church. Oh, yeah. You have language churches. The Spanish, Episcopalian, First Evangelical Church on Callahan. I mean, I don't know. You can go so specific before you know it. All kinds of things. Eventually, what do you have? Eventually, you have pizza. Right? You just keep dividing and dividing and dividing. Eventually, what you just have is pizza. Okay. When God looks upon Richardson, and he's looking for the church in Richardson, where does he look? All the believers in Richardson. He's looking for the church in Richardson. When Paul writes an epistle to the church in Philadelphia, who is he writing it to? But what if, which address? Where do I go? Okay, so what I want to show you is, this is God's view, the church in Richardson. But unfortunately, this is what we've degraded to. All these, they say, well, we're not dividing ourselves. We're just the church that meets the Baptist church. We're just the church that, holds on to this truth, and we're really focusing on that truth. But in fact, what happens is, if you don't agree with their doctrine, with their practice, with their whatever it is, their language, their culture, their boom, boom, you don't, maybe they don't exclude you, maybe they don't shut the door and say, you can't meet here. In some cases, they do. Yeah. Yep. In some cases, they're so rigid, they'll say, we cannot have fellowship with you because you don't practice such and such, or you don't believe in such and such, okay? But in a lot of cases, they may not push you out the door, but just by the fact of them putting up so many walls and so many barriers, they're basically saying, you're not welcome here, right? You're not welcome here. Okay, I could probably say a lot more there, but I just don't have the time. Okay, so we have to understand we are the church in our locality, and we are not the only ones who are the church in our locality. In other words, when God looks upon the city of Austin, all the believers are the church in Austin, all of them. But if he's going to find, or if a brother's going to find the church in Austin, doesn't it stand to reason that some, maybe just 2%, need to practically meet as the church in that city? Does that make sense? Who's going to do it? How are you going to find the church in Austin? Unless some take the ground and say, we will meet as the church in Austin. So actually, yes, the church is in every city in the United States. Amen. The church is in every city in the United States. I believe there's believers in every city in the United States. But is there practically some meeting as the church in their locality in every city in the United States? No, there's not. This is why we need more who would come back to the genuine ground. Amen. So there would be an expression of the church in that locality. Amen. That's a glory to God. That's why it's so, so dear on his heart that some would come back to the ground, Amen. To the place that Jehovah your God will choose. Not what's doing right in your own eyes. Oh boy. And even I hear some, maybe some leaders among different groups, they say, my church. Really? Or even some people say, what's your church? What's the name of your church? I almost feel like I say, I don't have a church. What are you talking about? My church is God's. It's Christ's church, right? Okay, so back to this. So we have to have kind of a realization where we are coming from, what we've seen, and I think we've seen a lot this weekend so far, and where others are coming from when they ask certain questions, okay? You have to realize most of the time when people are asking questions about the church or your beliefs, they're asking for very basic answers according to their understanding. They're not asking for please give me a profound, deep explanation of the church that you go to. They're just basically asking a very simple question like, you know, where do you meet? I mean, what's the location? What building do you go to? What group are you with, okay? But you have to realize when you're answering and your attitude towards them, number one, they may be genuine believers, but the questions themselves, because of their view, is fundamentally false, is fundamentally flawed. Let's put it that way. It's flawed. The questions themselves many times are flawed. Okay, so when we answer questions that are coming our way, and we're going to talk about some of the questions that you may hear, we have to have a lot of discernment. Sometimes the question is just, you know, oh, what church do you go to? They're not asking for anything deep. Other times, because of something you may have said or something you may have shared with them, they ask, what church did you go to? What church did you go to? Because they want a little bit more. They want, like, where did you get that? Where are you getting this food? So you have to have a consideration. Where's this question coming from? And how am I going to answer it? So if you look at the outline, it says common conversations concerning the church. Okay, very common. The name of the church. Where do you meet? Where do you meet? Okay, let me ask. Among those who've grown up in the church life, how many of you get a little bit squirmish when somebody says, what church do you go to? Raise your hand. Be honest. Yeah. Well, I mean, why do you get nervous? Because you don't know how to answer? Is that why? Or because you think they're going to think you're weird? Some of you are like, yes, and some of you are like, no. You just don't know how to answer. Okay, how many of you did not grow up in the church life? Raise your hand. Oh, really? Wow, okay. I need your participation. Those of you who did not grow up in the church life, when you ask the question, what church do you go to, what are you looking for? Looking for a denomination you meet with? What else might you be looking for? Huh? A place. Or what they believe in. Okay, good. So they're asking, listen, young people who grew up in the church life, listen. What are they asking for? Whether or not you're in a denomination, what's the name of your church? What else? A place? Maybe. That's going to come up here in just a minute. That's why I say maybe, because that is going to come up. Okay, so how do you answer? What are some answers that you could give when somebody asks, hey, what church do you go to? Well, again, it depends. If they're just kind of nonchalantly asking what church do you go to because they found out you're a believer, you might just say, I meet with a group of believers on 2530 South Congress Avenue. Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's end of story. When my coworkers, they find out I'm a believer, they're like, oh, what church do you go to? I just meet with a group of believers, and we meet on 2530 South Congress Avenue. That's simple. That's all they're looking for.
Yeah.
They're not looking for, can you please explain to me all of the ground of the church, starting from Deuteronomy 12, and please end with Revelation. Okay, no, that's not what they're asking for. They just want to know where you go. Okay. So how about you practice? Where do you meet? Hey, what church do you go to? What are you going to say? Yeah, or you could even, I mean, some people like to say things like, we meet with a non-denominational group at such and such address. That's satisfying. That's satisfying to many. Okay, some will ask you, what's the name? What's the name of the church? They want a little bit more information. What's the name? What are you going to tell them? Yeah, you're going to say the church in Austin, the church in Richardson. And what's the follow-up question?
Which one?
Which one? Okay, so what's a better answer? You could be like, your question is fundamentally flawed. You could take that approach. You know, I'm kind of the mind, like, try different things. Try it out. See what happens, you know. Have fun with it. Okay, but a lot of times I just tell them, actually, we don't have a name. And sometimes they're like, what? Like, we don't have a name. We actually just try to meet according to the Bible. So we just identify ourselves as the church in our city. And a lot of times that's enough. They're just like, whoa, okay. All right. And that's it. And you just leave like that, okay? So no problem. Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's okay if they ask you more questions. Do you know what that's showing? Their interest. There's a little interest there. And maybe they're interested to find out, why are you so different? But that's okay. It's okay. In other words, they see enough in you to identify there's something there that makes this person different. There's some, they may not say the words, but what they're seeing is there's something living in this person. There's something special about this person in the way that they love the Lord and that the way that they desire after what the Lord desires after. That's not a bad thing. So when they ask for more questions, feel free just to ease them into, you know, what your experience is. So before I go any further with the answers, I just wanted to touch that one first because that was the big one, okay? Our answers, they need to be centered on Christ and the church. Our answers need to be centered on Christ and the church. In a sense, it doesn't matter what you say, as long as you're centered on Christ and the church. The problem is when we get off on any other thing, we either give off a different flavor or we're going to cause some confusion for our in our conversation, right? But if you're centered on Christ and the church, then really, really, you're safe. You're safe. Okay, so the next one, conversation, the pastor, the minister, the preacher. Who's your pastor? Who's your minister? Who's your preacher? Over the last, I don't know, few years, I've noticed more and more people, more and more believers identify themselves by their pastor or minister or preacher. Like, they will freely give you that information. Recently, I introduced myself to this lady, and somehow we knew each other. Oh, no, she came to one of our meetings. And, you know, she came to our meeting. She really enjoyed it. I said, hi, how are you? Oh, you know, where are you from? And she just gave me the information. Oh, I live in such and such city, and I meet at this church with Pastor so-and-so. Like, I'm going to know that person. I don't know that person. Okay, so what are they asking? Okay, again, those of you who didn't grow up in the church, when you ask that question, if you have ever asked that question, what were you looking for? Did anybody ever ask that question before? Who's your pastor? Or who's the minister? Or what are you looking for? Yeah. Who's in charge? Okay, again, context. You know, if you're looking at just the Roman Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or whatever, a lot of times they don't ask, who's the pastor? Who's the this? But more and more with these free groups springing up, with these very charismatic groups, the pastor, the minister, the group, the band, it's the main event. They are the main event. In other words, people are drawn because they really love this pastor. And I don't even want to say names. I could rattle off a few of them, right? These mega churches. Why are they these mega churches? Is it because we take the ground as the church in Houston? Is that why they're the mega church? No, that's not why. It's because so-and-so is speaking. Pastor so-and-so. Okay, so again, who are the pastors? Who are the ministers? Who are the preachers? Well, Easy way to answer this. Well, we don't have one pastor or one minister. If they really want to know who's in charge, what do you say? Yeah, there's a group of brothers, elders, or leading ones who coordinate to take the lead in our church. That's very simple, okay? It's good enough. What if they ask more? What if they say, well, who's the minister? Well, I mean, who gives the message? Who speaks? Who's the one? They don't say this, but who's the main event? Who's ministering to you? What do you say? Okay, good. That's not bad. The members of the church. Well, this is, okay. This portion here, I'm going to go, man, my time. This portion here to me could be a real opportunity. A real opportunity. And just to show, when we're on the proper ground, it just releases the riches. It just releases the riches. On the proper ground, I can build a church. On the proper ground, you can build a church. On the proper ground, you can build a church. On the proper ground, you can minister. Did you know that? You can minister life, Simone. Actually, you already have. You shared with us when you get up and share. Oh, that ministers to us. So as you explain these questions, sometimes you could really actually inspire some. What? Wait, you all can speak? You all have a chance to minister? You all have a chance to speak for the Lord? Whoa! Of course, if you want to go deeper, you can talk to them a little bit about what it means to prophesy. We don't have the time to get into all that right now. But we all can be ministers. Amen. Ministering life to the members in the church that builds the body. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I just don't have the time. Okay, preference or style. What are we asking? Well, what's the style of your worship? What's that really trying to ask? Okay, let's be honest, right? Let's be honest. Like, what kind of praise and worship do you have? What kind of, you know, things that they're basically saying, okay, and maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but they're basically saying, like, what's entertaining about, like, what's going to keep us entertained, keep us, again, I don't want to say too much, just because, but we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Sometimes we may even fall into the same thing. We have to be careful. Again, our answer should be centered on Christ and the church.
Amen.
Christ and the church. Right. So, what is your style? Well, our style is each one has.
Yeah.
That's biblical, right?
Yeah.
Each one has. Yeah. Our style is we love the Lord. You might say, well, you know, we don't have a lot of outward things, but inwardly we just love the Lord. And we come together and we meet in mutuality. So we believe that each one has the opportunity to build a church. I can call a hymn. We all have a chance to sing and open our hearts to the Lord. Okay, again, if you center your answers on Christ and the church, you'll be safe. Okay. Let me just say something about all three of these things. In Christianity, and I say that in the way of a system, okay? In the system of Christianity, this, the pizza. What you're conditioned to expect is Christ plus something. Christ plus something. But we're not here for Christ plus something. We're here for Christ, right? Okay. Let's move on. Denominations in Christianity, we already talked about this a little bit. What does the word denominate mean? It means to name. To denominate means to name. To give it a name.
Right.
If you denominate something, you give it a name. A denomination, think about this. If denominate means to name, a denomination is a group of believers that have taken on a name. Is that a good thing? In the Bible, are there any other names given to groups of believers? They call them of the way. But when you're really talking about that group of believers, what do they refer to them as? The church in that city. To take any other name actually is a terrible error that we make, that we can make, that believers have made. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I identify by this person, doctrine, practice, culture, whatever. And that in itself is to divide the body. That in itself is to divide the body. When I got married, I wanted my wife to take my name. And it wasn't a selfish thing, you know, but the word is clear, the two are joined as one. So when they said, this is Zeke and Amy, I wanted everyone to know that this is Zeke and Amy Chavez. We are one. We're one unit. We're one unit. What if my wife just decided, you know what, I just don't like the Spanish sound of that name, you know? Chavez? I think I'm going to stick with my name, Bradley, or even worse, I've always liked the name, I don't know, Smith. I've always liked the name. I think I'm going to go by that. Do you think I would appreciate that?
No.
I would not appreciate that. I want her to be Amy Chavez. Right. Actually, sometimes she says, if someone calls me Amy Bradley, it feels a little funny. That's her maiden name. It feels a little funny. I'm Amy Chavez. Like, that's right. You're Amy Chavez. You're my wife. Okay. Same thing with the Lord. I said it's Christ plus nothing, but there's one other thing that you can add to Christ, and it's the only thing that you can add to Christ, according to the Bible. You know what that is? The church. Actually, he added it to himself, right? He said, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ.
Yeah.
That's right. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And then Paul says, Christ and the church. Okay. That's all you can add to Christ. In other words, it's Christ, the head, the church, his body. Only thing you can add to Christ. Okay. Let's read that verse because I think it's good. 1 Corinthians 10, and I think we read some of these verses already. So, again, I want you to read, now I mean this. Okay, start there. So here, they're taking names, and these are these are good names. Paul's a good name. Apollos, very charismatic. Good name. Cephas, that's Peter. Good name. And some took the name of Christ. Is that a bad thing? Well, in this context, it was.
Yeah.
Why were they saying, well, we're of Christ? Yeah. Well, you're of Peter. You're of this. Well, how do you one up? How do you, like, I have infinity. Well, I have infinity plus one. Okay. So how do you one up? Somebody says, but we're of Paul. What do you do at that point? Well, I got you. We're of Christ. Okay. That's not saying it in the proper way. Okay. That's saying it in a divisive way. Okay. Okay. The ground of oneness viewed as a divisive idea, Roman numeral 3. Okay, so what if somebody turns it around and say, but aren't you just another denomination? Have you ever heard that? What do you do? What do you do? Some even said, I've even heard this. Well, are you saying you're the only church? Are you saying you're the only church? Because you say you're the church in Austin. That's saying like that nobody else is. So you're saying you're the only church. What do you say?
No,
what?
No, we're only the church.
Yeah. Did you hear that? No. We're not saying we're the only church. What we're saying is we're only the church. We're only the church. Big difference. Actually, they say this to kind of turn it around on you and say that you're also being divisive. But actually, the most inclusive way to meet is to meet as the church in Richardson. Because we're saying that we believe all believers are the church in Richardson. And we're welcome for any believer to come and meet with us. But some have to take the ground and say, we're going to stand on this ground and say, we're meeting as the church in Richardson. That way, any believer could come together and meet according to God's way of oneness.
Amen.
What if there was no church in any of the cities in the Dallas area? Where would they go? Where would they go when they say, to the place Jehovah has set for you? Where would they go? Where is that place? In the New Testament, the place is the city,
amen,
right? To meet as the church in that locality.
Right.
Oh, I have so much more to say. There's an illustration I could use here, but I'm running out of time. My struggle continuously. Not just in speaking. I'm like, I always tell my wife, I'm always rushing off to be late to the next thing. That's my life. Oh, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Okay, again, there's a couple words here. Let's read. There's bullet points there. Can you guys read the last bullet point? Well, no, sorry, the last two bullet points. Go. Okay, their return actually blessed the entire race. Our return, our standing on the ground is actually a blessing to all the believers. All the believers. Okay, the next bullet point. Okay, the minority will afford the Lord a beachhead to bring in his kingdom. Yes, because the overcomers will. Yes, the minority of the believers probably will be the overcomers or something like that to afford. Okay, little typo there. Okay, let's read B together. Okay, so this is kind of important. You know, maybe you see something. Maybe you see something concerning the biblical way to meet, the ground of oneness, the ground of the church. Okay? Have you seen something?
Yeah.
Now, what do we do with those who are around us who don't see this? Do we say, you are not meeting on the ground of oneness? Mm-mm. Number one, they don't even know what that means. Number two, it doesn't sound good, so you've just closed yourself off. In other words, you could actually take these doctrines and become a division yourself. Okay? You have to be careful. Okay, so let me just say this. I have family members who don't meet as the church in that locality. I have some who used to meet as the church and aren't anymore. And I have some that have never met with the church. Do you know, over the years, I'm not that old, but over the years, what I found to be the most helpful thing for them in regards to this, it's not going and saying, let me, I have this outline I got this summer. Let's go over, it might help, and go over all the points. That may or may not help, but that has not been my experience. It hasn't even been to go and start talking to them about the ground of the church and the biblical way to meet and why denominations are wrong. And okay, in some cases that has helped, but in my experience that hasn't helped that much. Do you know what has helped the most over time, is me standing fast on the ground of oneness, enjoying the Lord,
amen,
going on in the church to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Over time, they see that, and they realize, I don't have that. That's unique. They see something in you. And that eventually, over time, becomes convincing. Let me just prove this to you. When the Lord in Revelation spoke to the seven churches, only one church was approved. Only one church had nothing negative to say about them. And do you know what his word to them was? Hold fast. Hold fast what you have. That's what you need to do, young people. You want to help be a testimony, or you want to help your family members, your friends come to the Lord, come to the church life? Hold fast what you have.
Amen.
Stay on the ground. Eat there. Enjoy there. Rejoice there. Eventually, that becomes so attractive. Actually, I believe because of this, because my sister and myself, we stood on this ground. That was the reason my dad got saved. He's never met with the church, but I think he's interested. I really think he's interested because he sees year after year.
Wow.
He's just going on with the Lord. He's just, and he doesn't see that around him. Okay. Hold fast what you have.
Amen.
Okay, our attitude. So our answers, what should our answers be? Centered on? Okay, and what should our attitude be? When I was preparing for this, I was like, oh, our attitude should be love. That's right. Our attitude should be one of love. However, when I really started getting into this, I had this realization. It's not just love. Our attitude needs to be that we love what the Lord loves, but we hate what the Lord hates. That's our attitude. Okay, let's read. I'm going to primarily read here and then maybe share a little bit. So our attitude, this is Roman numeral 4, our attitude toward other believers. A, receive everyone that Christ has received.
Amen.
Has Christ received all the believers?
Yes.
Yes. Should you receive all the believers?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
But what about that one that's over here in this pepperoni? You can receive them.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Even though they may not receive you, is that okay? Yes. Okay. Read the verses there. Romans 5. These are the ones we pray read. I really enjoy that prayer reading, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's read these verses in Romans. Just go ahead and read through the whole verse, all three verses.
Therefore, receive one another, as Christ also received you to the glory of God. Love one another warmly in brotherly love. Take the lead in showing honor one to another. But not for the purpose of passing judgment on his considerations. One believes that he may be all things, but he who is weak is flexible. He who believes that he not despise him who does not eat, and he who does not eat, let him not judge him who eats, for God has received him.
Okay, underline that. God has received him. And then while you're doing that, I'll keep reading. Who are you who judge one another's household servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will be made to stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One judges one day above the other, another judges every day alike. Let each be fully persuaded in his own mind. Well, this is mainly talking about eating here, but you can almost insert anything, right? You can insert all kinds of practices. What if you want to pray quietly and your brother wants to pray loudly? What if you're used to calling on the name of the Lord and another believer is not used to that? Is that a reason not to receive them?
No,
it's not a reason. Okay, we're going to see something here. Lord Jesus. Contending for the faith, not for practices or minor doctrines. Contend for the faith. So sometimes we do. We have to stand firm on our ground. That doesn't mean we're not receiving other people, but there has to be some way to receive them properly. Okay. How many of you understand the term the faith? The faith when it comes to Christian beliefs. These are our beliefs. This is what we believe in, that we hold firm to, that allow us to receive other believers. These are items of the faith. These are not practice. Okay, they're not practice. They are the faith. Let's read them all together. And by the way, you should know these by memory. I would even say before you go to school this school year, in August, the end of August, you need to memorize these points. Amen. Know what you believe. That's right. When somebody says, what do you believe in? You should, well, let's read them, find out. Okay, go. What do you believe in? Amen.
God is uniquely one.
Amen.
God himself was incarnated to be the man, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay, if you think about the Christian belief or the Christian practices, everything related to what you see in the Word of God, you can think of it like a tree. There's a lot of branches in a tree, a lot of leaves in the tree. And if you think about church history, a lot of believers have discovered various branches. Salvation. Martin Luther, what did he discover? Justification by faith. Yeah. We're saved just by believing. Amen. Not because somebody, you paid some money and somebody wrote you a certificate. Okay, but what happens with that? We've discovered a branch. We've unlocked a truth in the Word. But what happens? Baptism. Baptism by immersion. Isn't that awesome? We can get baptized and cross the separating line to come out of the world and into Christ. Amen. Okay, that's a branch. Yeah. What about pray reading? Ooh. That's a leaf. That's right. Yeah. Calling on the name of the Lord. We've discovered that's the best way to exercise our spirit. Call on the name of the Lord. Amen. What is that? It's a leaf. It's a branch, right? It's a wonderful one. Amen. We love it. Amen. But if you begin to hold on to that and you say, I found it. I found it. I found the tree. Yes, you found a branch of the tree. You found a leaf in the tree. But you, by holding on to that so tightly, you've negated the rest of the tree. So if you want to be an all-inclusive member, all-inclusive, all-receiving member, yeah, to be inclusive, to be able to include all believers, what would you hold on to? The faith, the trunk of the tree. Everything else comes out of that, okay? So if you hold to the items of the faith, you will be safe. That's the safe way to take. Okay. I really wanted to give you guys 15 minutes, so what I'm going to do is ask Brother Tom if you have anything you wanted to share. Okay. Let me just touch on one more point, because I said you have to love what the Lord loves and you have to hate what the Lord hates. Okay. What does the Lord hate? Division. The Lord hates division. You can write these verses down. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. You know what it says in Proverbs 6:16 through 19? It says that the Lord hates certain things. It says six things that Jehovah hates. There are six things that Jehovah hates. Indeed, seven that are an abomination to his soul. Abomination to his soul. You want to know what those are? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that is divisive, that deceives, devises wicked schemes, feet that hurry to run to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who injects discord among brothers. The Lord especially hates, because he said, indeed, yeah. Seven. Yeah. That seventh one is like, oh, this one I hate. One who sows discord. One who sows, what does that mean, to sow discord among brothers? Come in to divide the brothers. There are times, sisters, that we will encounter some who come in to sow discord. The Lord hates those ones. Well, okay, I shouldn't say he hates it. The Lord, in the word here, he hates that person, okay? But he hates divisions. He hates divisions. Yes, they can repent. Yes, they can turn again. But he hates that. He hates the sowing of discord. So what does it say to do? So if you look under C, read number 4. C4 on page 14. Go. So what do we do in that case? Sometimes this happens on a grand scale and causes a big rebellion, but in my experience, sometimes it happens on a small scale. There's times where maybe I was this person, I don't know. But just because of my condition, maybe some of the things I'm saying, maybe I'm pitting one person against another. Yeah. Sisters, you got to be careful. Yeah. You got to be careful in this matter. Maybe you have a very fond affection to this sister, and maybe that sister you don't know so well. And you're just, what we're doing, just little seeds of discord. Oh, that sister, why? What did you just do to this sister? Maybe she had no thought about that sister, but you've sowed a seed of discord. Well, in that case, we have to separate ourselves from that person, at least for a while, right? At least for a while, we have to separate ourselves to the divisive ones, because the Lord hates discord among his people. Okay, there's so much I didn't get to share, but I do want to hear what you have to share. So there are 12 minutes left before lunchtime, and hopefully you guys have something to share from the last two messages.